SFDC Consultant is here to support your sales career through interviews, podcasts, videos, and articles about and around the best way to grow and develop as a sales professional. We have a list of high-value and highly packed Salesforce podcast episodes with MVPs, architects, consultants, directors, developers, and more. Today, I am speaking with Ines Garcia, a Salesforce MVP and Agile coach. Ines has been sharing best practices and supporting the Salesforce community for a number of years, so I was happy to have her on the podcast. We spoke about what Agile is and also how anyone can use it. Additionally, Ines just published a book called Becoming More Agile While Delivering Salesforce. So if you want to get more from Salesforce and start using Agile, then the book will be perfect for you. Now, please enjoy my conversation with Ines Garcia.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ines Garcia. I am an Agile coach and a Salesforce MVP. And these two things together, what actually means that I do every day is help organizations to become more agile whilst we deliver Salesforce technology. And just to give you a bit of background, I'm originally from Barcelona. I moved to London more than 13 years ago with a plan to stay here for a month. I was actually studying communications. It was a double degree. And my last year of uni, I ended up living in London and not going back. Sometimes I will take the first plane in the morning and coming back the last one at night just to deliver my final project of uni and some other things. And with comms background, over time, digital solutions have a lot to do in how you transform business. I ended up falling in business transformation. And one of the organizations I was working for more than 7 years ago was doing a retake of how they were approaching market and having some value centers so people within each business unit could take their own decisions on operations, on finance, on marketing, a lot of different things. And as part of that transformation, the CEO, which I think super clever individual, said one thing. I told us that whatever you want to do in the CRM roadmap, go for it. But one thing was told, and that thing was Salesforce. So you can do whatever with the roadmap, but we get in Salesforce. All right. So we look at each other like, we're going to sell what? Not knowing what this thing was. And I'm someone that really likes to understand how things work. So spin my developer edition. Back on the days, we had this 700 pages workbook fundamentals. Force.com, and it was really amazing to see how myself, that doesn't come from any technical background, could do magic buttons and things to enable individuals to bring their individuality at work rather than do boring things, copy-paste. And so, yeah, since then, it's no way back. I decided to get certified in Salesforce and continue my professional career around that. Anything that I can do, obviously, to help the individuals in organizations to deliver better value, doing that sooner in a safer way and certainly happier way.
For listeners that are potentially have heard the terminology, but probably haven't connected it to Salesforce.
Sometimes people get stuck around tools and practices and misses the wider point. And for me, someone that doesn't know anything about this and just heard the hype of what Agile may be about, the way to explain it is, in my mind, is that things change super fast. Look at the market. Look at the uncertainty that we have around. Look at your products, the speed of change, the tech that you use, your manufacturing approaches, your surrounding ecosystem of suppliers and everything else within the teams, within the tech that the teams uses. It's an ever-changing environment. And every day will change even faster. And so when we look at delivering something, instead of trying to draw a straight line into the future, that will defeat the object of being able to adapt as our environment ever changes. So something that maybe it will be very important for us right now, because things change, may not be so important. And also, at the beginning of the project is when the least that you're ever going to know about that project. So it seems a bit naive to try to predict the future in a very detailed way. So that's why Agile comes around and says, okay, let's stop this very phase detailed approach of waterfalling that, in essence, deviates from what is needed, because you're only looking back to your baseline of your project and how far are we. But does it matter? Things have changed. So we should need to react so that we are the most competitive, so our product brings the most value. That's what we're trying to achieve, right? It's not about how much we've done. It's about, you know, how we're getting towards the goal. And so, yeah, Agile gives you some values and principles that guide your decisions for that constant loop of reflection, of feedback, of the product that you're building, how are you building, and everything else around that. So you can inspect and adapt faster to ultimately reduce waste and deliver better products.
I guess to put that into a more simplistic view, it's basically in terms of what Agile is and is not. Agile is a framework and a quote-unquote a way of life rather than just the tools that you have that are tools to be used within that framework. Now, if we switch that and think about Salesforce and think about consultancies, think about end users, I guess. Salesforce have labeled themselves in a way, and I'm not using air quotes here, around being an agile environment, the fact that you can easily push changes, easily or get from idea to implementation in weeks rather than months and years, etc. What is your take on that? Is Salesforce something that we can actually use within an agile environment? And secondly, is there room for improvement in there? Have you seen certain areas within either the platform or the way we work where we should probably adjust, I guess, based on the agile approach, adjust and think forward from there?
So agile can be applied to anything. You can apply it to your own life. I'm applying it to my own life. Like, for example, just to give you an example, last year when I released the game cards, a pack of cards for teams to self-assess, I had the idea in the back of my mind for a long time, macerating, doing nothing about it. Oh, I should do this thing. Until I apply the mindset of what is the bare minimum that I can deliver value this week, and then next week, and then next week. And then within 12 weeks, I had the product. You can apply this to creating a game. I had a customer that was a US roof maker. So you can apply it to make the roof of your house. They still have bugs when they open a roof and discover things unexpected. And they do spikes to work out how would be the best way to achieve something where you have high uncertainty. And so, yes, you apply it for Salesforce, of course. But is this mindset, is this way of thinking towards what you're trying to achieve, right? And so things that I see in Salesforce that are very good is that they really push us, like with the three major releases a year and more, they are really pushing us to get the most out of their product. How you approach that to being a positive or a burden to your team can make a big of a difference, and how you prepare yourself so you have the buffer to get the master of the product, new things coming out. And that makes the difference. Now, one of the dangers, we have a few dangers in Salesforce, but one of the dangers that we need to be aware is that it's very easy to make changes in production. Something that with other technologies you don't have. And so, yes, you can do some automation in production, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you should. And so one of the things that I was really happy to see with the announcements in TDX, it was that DevOps Center, how they really help the citizen developments with the traditional programmers so that whichever changes you're doing, not in production, becomes part of the source of truth, being your master repository of your code. Normally, you'll have this in GitHub or something like that. So before you push anything to production, life environment with your users, your customers, everybody, you can validate that this thing works well. And you can revert changes. It's not easy to revert changes in production. It's very different Salesforce to other tech stacks. So you need to help yourself to deliver better value sooner, safer, and happier. And not doing it in production is going to give you those things, but doing it in a small batches, so very quickly you can spot where was the thing that went wrong. Using things like feature flags or toggle things, you can, you know, have this layer of things when you're pushing things, like a safety layer. So you can quickly go back to how it was. And then there is a lot of things that you can do.
In terms of what you said, I haven't thought about it this way, but the fact that you said that Salesforce is pushing us with the three major releases that they have, it does make sense. Because depending on the type of customer that you are, or the types of users that you are, you always want to get the best. And Salesforce is not really the cheapest out there when it comes to that, but it's a premium product that you're getting. So the fact that you're paying a premium price, you want to get the most out of it. So you're bound by that to see what new things they're bringing out. And then, of course, when in order to do that, you need to think about what's the impact that's going to have on your business and so on. And so you are correct. They are pushing us to be as agile as we can. I haven't thought about it that way. Now, the other thing that I wanted to ask is, when it comes to consultancies, how important is for a consultancy, I guess, to have some type of agile culture or environment to work? Because the way I'm thinking about a consultancy, they may have, let's just say, 10, 20, 30 consultants, developers, et cetera. But they may have 20, 40, 60 projects that they're working in the same time at different levels of those projects. And their project managers that potentially need to see 50K views of those projects. Is Agile the best approach, or is there a mix? How can people use this framework to help them with consultancies?
I'll say that Agile is a mindset. It's how you think about what you're going to tackle. One of the values is that you value more the individuals and their interactions over processes and tools. That doesn't mean that there are no tools and there are not processes. You just, as a team, you find the ones that fit the best for you. So rather than a set of instructions, what you have is this mindset, right? And so how you would approach it for a specific consultant or a specific consultancy will really depend on the environment. System thinking is something that we don't do enough. Like, organizations are operating systems, like literally. And so you need to define a way that, you can have quality interactions over volume interactions. And anyway, that may be a podcast for another time. It deserves its own thing. And so what I'll say, if what you are delivering is something very defined, with very defined modules and roles and outcomes, it's manufacturing system. Put the raw products here, and then you get the thing in the other end. Just use waterfall, what you're going to deliver, exactly how you're going to do it. With zero uncertainty, go for it. Why would you do something in any other way? Simple. Now, I would argue that the stuff that we do is not that simple. May live in the complex world. And so you have certain level of disagreement or not completely agreement. And you have the other variable, which is uncertainty. And so to get the most out of that complex world, one of the things that you can be looking at is time box everything, like there is no tomorrow. So Scrum as a framework really helps you there. It helps you to get into a rhythm so you can have a 1 week view of what am I going to deliver this week. On Monday, we talk, how are we going to get it done as a team? Every day we have a checkup of what I finished yesterday, what I'm planning to achieve today, anything is slowing us down towards our common goal on Friday. And so on Friday, we show the product. That's super powerful because what we do is so conceptual. We need to see it to be able to understand if that's really where we want to go or not. And after that, we talk about the process. How did we do in a process way? Because we talk so much about product, the deliverables, that sometimes we lose track of how that operating system between us as a team. And then next week again. So when people say, oh, you just don't know how much something costs in Agile, well, no, you do. You have a fixed timeline, let's say a week, fixed scope of the goal of that week, the cost, everything. Next week, another goal. So yeah, I mean, I'm giving you lots of food for thought, I guess. But yeah, shoot more questions.
You mentioned there reviewing the process. And I've worked in some environments where we did Agile. And there was one environment where we did retrospective sessions. And I felt that I did not actually get a lot of value out of it. I think the first time that we did, there were some good points, but then we somehow moved towards a thank you session, a thank you and collaboration gratitude session. And I was wondering, what are some of the recommendations that you would say that a retrospective session should have? And what are the things that should be considered and should we raise some common mistakes and all that?
In retrospective, the things that you want to look at is gathering data, because you're always going to have some louder voices than another. So you want to give the opportunity to have some kind of data so that you can look as a team to it. So give an opportunity for people to explain what they felt and what they saw, what they observe. And there are different techniques that you can do so that everybody has the opportunity to chip in. Once you gather the data, you analyze the data as a team and you're like, okay, well, this is what we thought and we saw. What did we like? What could be better? And then out of the what could be better, ideas, let's brainstorm together. And again, there are different techniques so that you can prioritize those ideas. The same with the stories. Like when you're looking at your sprint planning, you're going to have trillion million things that we want to achieve. Now, we need to prioritize them in one dimension at least. What is feasible for us to tackle? This is this. Same with retrospective. Tangible actions that we have the energy and we want to tackle next week. And that's it. Then move on. And also, it's about trying things. Sometimes we are so afraid of failure. And this is not only with the products that we build or in the way that we organize ourselves, but even with retrospective sometimes, let's just try something. Maybe we have always dependencies with this other team and I don't know what, it's always so difficult. Okay, let's just brainstorm things that we're going to try and then we organize them, which one we have the energy to try next week. Sometimes works, sometimes doesn't work. At least we're trying.
The other question that I wanted to ask is for end user orgs and clients. And I know this is kind of is falling into the it depends category because it depends on the complexity of the org you have. It depends on the number of users, et cetera. Let's just say the implementation has happened. So you've completed the initial implementation and right now you're in, let's just say, business as usual. You're trying to improve based on what feedback you get from users. And you're also trying to improve based on what Salesforce are pushing out. So what would be your recommendation of a safe time frame that people should have in mind whenever they're moving on to an agile development approach?
Something coming later on the year, it will give a bit more insight on the subject. But in my mind, sometimes the simplest thing is the easier, right? And right now, anybody that hasn't done any agile thing before, we have a time box in our lives that we are very used to and understand, which is a week. Monday to Friday, most of the time, that's how we roll. This is our rhythm. So get the most out of your cycle of life rhythm that we already have in place and discuss what can we do this week. And sometimes will be things that affect users and sometimes it's not. And so the question is, how often can you deploy? And that hopefully is every day, million times. Now, sometimes there are things that are going to need to be hold off for training. And that will bring a layer of options of maybe we should be looking at the training per se as a thing that we need to streamline, for example. So it's easier. It's easable, consumable. You know, it doesn't require so much coordination. There are things that you can do about that. Also, are the changes that we're doing so not easy to consume for the users? Maybe we should be looking at that. But yeah, in my mind, we have this thing called week that we are used to handle around our life.
Based on what you said, the fact that sometimes you may have things which are more complicated or they're more complex user stories, or they have repercussions such as training and planning. So technically, and correct me if I somehow misunderstood this, but technically, if you are building something in a weekly sprint, you shouldn't be bound to deploy that if it requires additional steps, even though quote-unquote development has happened, testing has happened, but of course we need to do training. We need to prep the users in a way for that. You shouldn't really feel bound to deploy something that is not, you know, 100% covered from all aspects.
Yeah, but hold on. Because you want stuff being deployed. Having things in progress brings no value. Having things in use, that is where the value lies. And we really need to help ourselves to get the product out there, get the enhancement out there, have it used, even have it monitored. So I was talking earlier about feature flags and toggle. So sometimes the way is to deploy anyway, but it's not yet visible to the users. At the same time, you could be having some kind of monitoring built around that can tell you how many times a thing would have been used, which like expected outcome would have been, and all that jazz. That you can be already testing with your like the volumes that you have in production. So let's be a bit smart about this and let's deploy the things in the safest way as often as possible. And again, if you're having some kind of like difficulty to get things out to the users, there is more to think about this, like, you know, in your phone, in your iPhone, in your Mac, how many times we get pushes and upgrades? I get no training for that. So what can we do to make that an excitement thing or a seamless thing better than we're doing right now?
I have heard of the comparison. You were never trained how to use Amazon, but you're using it every day and the A-B test on you every time. Last question from my side is, in terms of an organization or a individual looking to explore the idea of agile and take that and somehow think about applying that to their org or to their processes, what would be your recommendation of how to start to explore that subject?
Okay, so I will give you a few things. One, maybe I'll give you the link after to put it in the show notes, but anybody can get a free training that I put together earlier on the year. And yeah, they can sign up and then get the recordings and whatever. So that's one. There is so much information out there. I think sometimes over information is a thing. Have a look what you have around and then people that you can ask. And what I would say is the same. What's the bare minimum that you can do so that you become more flexible towards your ever-changing environment? There is two things in my mind that really helps to do that. One is have some visual representation of the work in progress. If you don't have something tangible, that thing will be an information radiator. Have something that you can look at with your team. That will surface so much that probably is not visible today. And the other thing is on Fridays, have a beer or have a pause or a beer and a pause with your team and just say, how did this thing go? And then look at that information radiator of your visual representation of the work and just make one attempt the following week to make it better. Simple, simple.
Thank you for your time. Is there anything else that you want to mention? Do you have any side projects that you're doing? What are the best socials for people to find you at?
Well, the people that may have seen me around a little bit, I do get involved with quite a few things, and that gives me energy for the not so much fun things in life. So yeah, you can find me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Ineska with C, Pineska with Z and K. There is a story around that too. And yeah, I have obviously a release of the course. That was quite fun. And I also literally a couple of weeks ago released an ebook. It's free ebook in Kindle, Amazon. I can give you the link as well. That is about better estimating. So estimation is another one, maybe another podcast another day. So just few techniques, mental models for people to approach estimation for better. And yeah, very soon, maybe when this thing goes live, I will have another product in the market, which I'm very, very excited about. But that's as much as I can tell you. It should help people to be more agile whilst delivering Salesforce.
Thank you for listening to the SFDC Consultant Podcast. Be sure to visit sfdcconsultant.com to access the show notes and discover additional content. If you enjoy the podcast, it would be amazing if you could subscribe, give us a review, and share it with your peers. Until next time, take care.